Yes, a very special intro this week. It's got a world exclusive here on Aussie Tech Heads, never before seen in the world, premiering tonight. It's a big congratulations to Will and Sonia on their new baby, Cameron. Hello, Will. How are you doing? Live from the Mata Hospital, Mata Mothers in Brisbane.
That's it.
Hey, Will. Will and Cameron. Mate. How you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. He's not even 22 hours old, so.
Wow. How small is he going?
He's probably pushing 3.5 kilos at the moment, so.
Yeah, right, nice. So everything.
My idea is the length of my forearm, his head sits in my hand, and his legs finish at my elbow, so.
Wow.
Gives an idea of how big he is.
So he was he early?
He actually was, he was scheduled to go in yesterday at 10. He decided that he was going in the night before at 5. Son's waters broke and everything happened. And thankfully, it happened when it did, because all the doctors were just about to finish their shift.
Right. So it's sort of the motion that everything started el natural.
Yeah, pretty much.
That was
the plan, cesarean, but he had other ideas.
Yeah, so. Nice work. And what's his full name? He's got a couple of middle names?
He does. It's Cameron John Oswald Nicol.
Nice. And how come the
what's my last name? Seriously.
Tomkinson.
Cameron John Oswald Tomkinson. Man, I saw Nicol on the thing. And
Oh, it's hard work. So are you staying at the hospital, Will?
I am tonight, yeah. I didn't last night. It was a bit tricky, but, yeah, I will be from now on, so.
Yeah, nice. And when are you due to come home?
It's going to be at least a week, so probably this time next week, hopefully.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's all right. And Mum's doing well?
Mum's doing well. She's sitting over there looking out at the Gabba at the view we've got.
Oh, nice. It's a pity you couldn't stay there for another few weeks.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Get the first day.
ATV,
That's
free
the way.
Food. Not that it's great food, but it's still free food.
Now, has he shown any signs of an interest in tech yet?
Oh, yeah. Everything he does involves tech. Man, you'd love this place. It's serious. It's geek heaven. It really is.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Everything I do is tech.
Now, what about, I'm going to put you under pressure here, Will. Do you know the stats? Do you know the weight when he was born? And the circumference of the head and all that?
Yeah.
The girls want to know all this sort of stuff.
I've got all that stuff written. Where's that piece of paper that had all that stuff written down? I had it all written down. I actually should have. I think I've got it on my phone. Oh, it's on your phone.
Well, you can take that one on notice. I don't blame you for not knowing everything.
I know he's about 47 and a half roughly long.
I've caught flathead bigger than that.
So yeah, I know, right? When he went into the nursery, there was a set of triplets in there, and they were a kilo each, so he weighed more than the three triplets that were there.
Oh, jeez.
he was about 7.2 pounds or so when he was born, so.
Nice.
Nice,
very good.
Nice size. So, yeah, so just a shout-out to all the boys at Aussie Tech Head. So I'll probably be not around for next week or two, but we'll see how we go.
Yeah, so what happens when you're due to come home, like they're nice and peaceful while they're in the hospital.
Oh, no.
And then the first night you get them home, that's when they go to town. They're
he's just pretty good. It's only when he...
oh, that's now, Will. That's now.
It's only when he gets hungry, he gets grumpy like his old man, so...
Yeah, yeah. Oh, good stuff. And what was the actual birthday?
27th
of October. Nice work.
Like 8 o'clock? 8:58? Yeah, 10 to 9. Yeah.
The newest addition to the Aussie Tech Heads family. Well done.
Yep.
Good
so,
stuff.
So someone wants to get on it and make him a webpage, we're ready to go.
Oh, have you got the domain?
So, all right, guys. Well, thanks for giving me the time to show him off to the world.
And, no worries, Will. So
I'll watch the stream tonight and I'll catch up with you guys later.
We'll see you when we can. Yeah, good stuff. All right, thanks, Will. And now let's start the show.
Hi, and welcome to Aussie Tech Heads, podcasting live from the Secret Hub Studios on the Gold Coast, Australia. Sit back, relax, and listen for a while. Who knows? You might learn something. Aussie Tech Heads.
Welcome to another episode of Aussie Tech Heads. This is episode 461. And what a great way to introduce the episode to see Will or hear Will. And we didn't hear the little baby, but to be introduced to little Cameron for the first time. It was excellent. So thanks, Will, for taking time out at the hospital where he was. And yeah, hope you enjoyed keeping up to date with the life and times of Will's life. Right.
Life and times of Cameron Diaz. I mean, Wilkinson, whatever.
Now, look, we got a big show. There's heaps of stories to get through tonight, and we've got another full hosting table. Will's not here, obviously. He's in the hospital, and Warlock's not here. He's got, well, he should probably is in the hospital. He's got the tonsillitis going. So we've got Eric here. So let's say g'day to Eric, and we've also got maybe not a special guest, but someone we haven't spoken to for a while. But first of all, Eric, how you doing?
Hello, gentlemen. How do you do?
Good. What's going on?
You know, flat out, like a lizard drinking.
That's the way.
Mm.
Yeah, it's that time of year, I suppose. That's good.
I'm very busy leading up to Christmas. Extremely busy.
Mm, excellent. Good to see. Keep you off the streets.
Yes.
Which is good. And all right. And our back from the past, a host from not too long ago, Shane. How you doing?
Yeah, good, good. Yeah, coming out of the retirement village for you guys just to help you out.
Yes, we bought him another wheelchair, so we thought we'd roll him out again.
With him around the other side, Dana. Yeah.
So what have you been up to, Shane?
Got a job, lost a job, moved. We were talking earlier, we weren't 100% sure whether this is the first show that I've done in the new house or not, but I've been in this house since November. I am hopefully only, we're supposed to get NBN in March, fibre to the premise, so that's what I'm hanging out for.
In right. March, so they're only 6 months behind.
Yeah. Actually they've moved it forward because it was April. I got the letter in the mail a couple of weeks ago saying between the 2nd of November and the 23rd of March, they're going to start doing the putting the boxes on the houses. They've already done the main cabling through the estate. They did that probably about a month ago. So all systems go on the NBN front.
Well done.
Works out.
Yeah, well, let's hope that does work out. So so what's happening? So you've moved since what, you were on the show last time. You move around, don't you?
Yeah, and well, that's what we were trying to work out. I've only moved.
This is the house you bought, right? You haven't moved since then, have you?
No, so this is probably the same house.
Yes, correct. Yeah, that's right. No, it is. Because, hang on, you went to Disneyland or the States in October, correct?
That was in 2013.
Oh, was that long ago?
Yeah.
God, where are you at?
So we were going to go to Orlando in March of this year, but I'd only just started work for the company that I've just now recently left, and they wouldn't let me have leave because I just started there. But we'd already paid a deposit and all that kind of stuff. So Maria and one of the kids is going to Bali in February just to get rid of the deposit.
Yeah.
If I get the job that I've went for an interview for a couple of days ago, and I'm obviously there for at least 12 months, then we're gonna knock this on the head eventually to go to Orlando and get to Disney World and Kennedy Space Center and all that.
All right.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Good stuff.
Very good.
Sounds good. Now, look, there's been a bit of news going on this week. So, look, there's some big news and some not so big news. But, look, I'll start with whatever comes first. My first one is a $200,000 Jaguar has been hacked and stolen from
a Cougar.
Oh, it just says a Jaguar. It was a Jaguar XFR worth nearly $200,000.
In New Zealand. So it's about
$100.
About $100,000 here.
Yes. Yes.
Sorry, all my Kiwi viewers.
Oh, yeah, you've got them too. And
they have lots. Because they're all eating their fish and chops.
Now, how's this? Every now and then you come across a word, don't you, in a news article or something, and you go, what does that word mean? I've never even heard of it before. I had to look it up what it meant.
Word? That sauntered?
Yeah, a man sauntered.
He idly walked in.
That's right. He walked slowly in. I've never heard of that word before. But a man sauntered.
You should change your name to Glenn Sauntered.
I might do that. So he sauntered into the car yard in New Zealand. He pulled himself up against the side of this XFR. He's got some of this little fobby, tricky, techie thing he made from eBay. Pushed it, bango, the car opened and away he went.
What, he hot-wired it and everything?
Well, apparently he hacked it.
So he hacked it, the ignition system as well.
Yeah, so the unidentified thief did not have the key. It was locked safely away inside the dealership, nor was the car unlocked when it was taken. The car was stolen. It has been concluded using an electronic device used to hack the lock system. Now, over in England, apparently 6,000 cars in London were stolen in 2014 using the same technique.
Really?
Yes.
I have a story that will probably lead on from this, but carry on.
Yeah, no, lead on, lead away.
Well, you haven't finished it yet, have you?
That'll do.
One of my stories was how to protect yourself against hackers using your key fob signal to steal your car. Wirelessly unlocking your car is convenient but comes at a price. Basically, the story goes on to sort of say that there's two main ways that hackers can get into the new kind of keyless entry, keyless start cars these days. As you probably noticed, you can't just open your car with any old radio signal. You need your specific key fob to do the job. A key fob uses a computer chip to create a unique code that it sends to your car's security system. The car also has a chip that uses the same algorithm to generate the code, and when the codes match up, everything kind of happens. So basically, there's two main ways that criminals can get in. Researchers at Radboud University in the Netherlands and the University of Birmingham found that by intercepting the wireless signal just twice, they could narrow down the possible combinations from billions to just 200,000. After that, any old computer can crack the code in about half an hour. So that's one way of doing it. And then the other way of doing it, which is probably how this happened with the Jaguar, always on key fobs present a serious weakness in your car security. As long as your keys are in range, anyone can open the car and the system will then think it's you. That's why newer car models won't unlock until the key fob is within a foot of them. However, less than $100, criminals can get an amplifier that detects the key fob signal for up to 300 feet away then transmits them to your car and then obviously unlocks it. That's probably what's happened.
That's right. That's true. That's funny you say that, because the car that I've got now got the thing, and I can't – it's the – I can unlock the car or lock the car from about 20 metres away, right, which is a bit of an issue. But there's the wind – I can't bring the windows down or up unless I'm a metre from the door.
Yeah, okay.
Right, because you press a button and the windows go up or down, right?
Yeah, yeah.
My previous car, I could have the windows down all day, and if it starts raining, I could just press the button and point it at the car from inside the house, and the windows would go up. So I'd say that one was probably a bit more risky, that one.
Mm.
But I wish they had stolen that one.
You need to get yourself a Belmont. Then you won't have any of these problems. I think that went out of production in about 77.
All right, okay.
Something like that.
Go back to carburetors, you reckon?
Why not? All right. So that's the Jaguar done. Shane, what have you found interesting that you wanted to talk about for your reuniting on the show?
My comeback.
Yes.
Well, I've just done one, the car thing, and the other one that I wanted to touch on it kind of came to light yesterday/today, so it's not actually in the show notes, but I kind of know enough of the story off the top of my head to kind of talk about it, and you probably heard about it anyway, is this lady who sued Google they haven't actually got to the point in the trial yet or into the process where she's been awarded any damages, but the gist of it is that I can't remember the lady's name, but when you Googled her, the first result that came up was basically an entry into one of those sites that basically bags people, and she then sued Google. And the case went for 6 years or something, and finally the judges ruled, it went to the Supreme Court, and the judges ruled, said, no worries, it's Google's fault. You won. In that kind of, throughout that process, she obviously had some lawyers at the beginning. At some point, they jumped off board. She's been doing the whole thing by herself. She's basically given up work to concentrate on the case.
Mm.
Now she's won. The lawyers have come back saying, oh, we'll do the last little bit for you.
Yeah, right.
And work out what your damages are going to be and all that kind of stuff. But
yeah,
I don't think that Google did anything wrong. If anyone's done anything wrong, it's the website itself that basically bagged her and ruined her reputation, allegedly. Because all Google does, as we know, it's just an index. It's just a...
That's right. Just list things.
That's right. And that's... I read the same story. I read, yeah, and it was that Google's in trouble just because for linking to a defamatory story.
That's ridiculous.
Well,
they always award it against the big guy because I know the big guy's got money.
Yeah, but that's no good for the... Yeah, but it's not right because you can start.
No, it's not right.
You can start setting precedents, and like, what's Google supposed to do?
Well, that is now a precedent.
But that's got to get appealed, surely. Because what's Google supposed
have to
do?
Yeah.
What are they going to do? Are they going to employ 5 million people just to trawl through every search link to make sure and read the article to make sure it's not defamatory in any way?
But see, that's the thing about the internet. It is troll heaven.
Yes.
You know, it's the Wild West. It's a free for all. It's free speech. Yeah. Well, regulated in some senses, you know, with respect of, you know, which websites you're allowed, you know, they block certain websites or they, you know, there's still certain standards you must meet, ethics and defamation, all that sort of stuff. But other than that, you know, you're not purposely defaming anyone. But it's the last bastion of free speech.
Hmm. Well, yeah, look, some people do take it too far. And as long as it doesn't cross over from being a keyboard warrior to throwing rocks at your door, that's...
Well, this is the thing about keyboard warriors, aren't they? They're always very gutless behind the keyboard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And what did Tony Abbott call them? The East Coast Twitterati, something like that? So, whatever.
That brought him down.
That did bring him down. That's right. And I think what happens is because there's a section of the community, say, would you call them a section of the political community that will think they've got, you know, the right to be a keyboard warrior, and it's the people.
Oh, you mean the left wing communists? Yes.
Well, they're the ones that seem to be just got nothing else better to do than get on social media.
Yeah, because they're the ones with no jobs.
Yeah, more or less. That's right.
It's all coming back to me now, how this show works.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Welcome back, Shane. Yes. Welcome back, Cotter.
Okay. Now, this will make you happy, Eric.
Yes, what will it make? Why?
Oh, that's your favourite computer, the Mac. IBM is installing almost 2,000 Macs per week.
In their clients' premises, I'm assuming, not yes. In their premises.
Yes, IBM now has 30,000 Macs within its fleet. Macs
out Windows.
Yeah, Macs tend to be considered high-end choice. This guy from IBM was saying, and that he said that he was saving on average $270 US compared with a traditional PC. And this wasn't to do with just the price of purchase.
Yeah, it's the long-term cost of the. Because if you buy a PC, you've got to buy a support contract because things are always going wrong with it.
That's
so
right.
Over a five-year period, the PC is always going to cost more than a Mac.
Yeah, so he said, and then that was thanks to the much-reduced support cost and better residual value. So
that's right.
Whether I suppose they must obviously want to resell them at the end of their life.
You'll always get more for a Mac when you resell it than a PC.
Mm.
Because they still look good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, unless it's 10 years old.
Yeah, like that one.
A five-year-old Mac still looks good.
Yeah. Did you have one of those Macs, the one in the picture there, one of those old Macs? I can see a disk drive. I can see an image writer.
I didn't have that. My father, when we were growing up, wasn't into Macs. He went straight into the programming ones, the nerdy ones, you know, like the K-Pros and the CPMs.
Right. Mm. But IBM is expected to eventually deploy up to 200,000 Macs per year. The deployment program follows Apple and IBM's partnership in the mobile space, with IBM building enterprise-centric apps to help Apple carve out market share in the corporate world. So Tim Cook revealed that the enterprise business had grown 40% in the last year, and now it's earning Apple $25
billion. What, so, is that what it's worth?
That's what it's worth. That's earning.
It's not what it's earning, it's what it's worth.
It has grown to 40%. Okay, yeah, sorry.
So it's probably earning $2.5 billion.
Yeah, but it's worth
it's worth
$25 billion. That's right. Yeah,
that's not bad. Still,
that's all right. And especially when Apple's hit a $15.5 billion for their last quarter overall.
That's quite a lot of moolah.
Oh, you reckon?
How much have they got in the bank at the end of that quarter? $200 billion? Must be hitting $200 billion by now.
What? Surely, what's the limit? Like, what do they do?
There is no limit.
It's just a mega.
There is no finite. There is no finite number. Numbers can go on forever, infinitely.
Analysts on average had expected a profit of $1.88 per share and revenue of $51 billion. So analysts wanted $51 billion.
And they, what do they know?
$51 billion.
No, revenue, not profits. They want 51 in revenue, sales, top line.
Yes, $51 billion.
Yeah, that's top line. $15.5 billion is bottom line.
Right. Okay. So boosted by a new pink or rose gold color option for the iPhone. Apparently the latest iPhone 6s's, yeah, they were another hit.
Nuts, apparently.
First weekend they hit stores in late September. The last quarter only indicated 2 days of sales of the new iPhones. So that 15.5 billion only had 2 days of the new iPhones.
Their next quarter is going to be a cracker then.
Yeah, it's going to be another cracker. Yeah, geez. So where are they going to stop? What are they going to do with this money?
Build a car.
You reckon?
That's what they're doing now.
Yeah, but is that? But that's not. That's
electric car.
There's so much.
Apple and Tesla are at war with each other because Apple keeps poaching their engineers.
Yeah. Okay. But there's so much. They got so much money. What else are they going to do?
I don't know. Buy the United States.
They might.
I have a question about the pie chart.
Hmm.
What makes up that 3% of other? That'd be the watch. And what else?
Yes, right.
Apple TV.
Let me think. What else? The Apple TV. What else? What else is there? What else do they make? That? Oh, Mac. The Mac Pro would be in the Mac Kong.
I don't know.
iPads are there. No, it'd be the watch, the Apple TV, maybe like their keyboards and their mouse and their cables and
iPod. All that
sort of stuff. You know, their accessories.
iPod.
iPod, yeah. iPod's very little now. 10 years ago, the iPod would have been the blue colour.
But just on 70% is the total for the iPhones. That's massive, isn't it? Massive.
I think in 2007, Steve Ballmer said it'll never work.
What would he know?
I think he's out of a job now.
Yeah. He owns a basketball team.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, owns half a Twitter or something as well, doesn't he?
Well, that'll go broke.
Yeah, if he's got anything to do with it, it will. Accessories. John Dory in the chat in the lounge says 10%. Yeah, accessories. That's right. All right, Shane. What else have you got to talk about?
Oh, I'm starring tonight.
You are starring. I'm giving you a good red hot go.
I guess I'll go on to the story in a second, but I want to ask a question that might lead into a discussion, if not a story. How many of us are going to see that new Steve Jobs movie when it comes out?
Yeah, I'll go and see it.
I'll go and see it, but I'm not convinced that Michael Fassbender was the right choice. So I'm going in with a very negative attitude in respect of the actors that they've chosen.
Isn't the chick in it up for a nomination of some award? Who's the chick?
Says the guy.
The worst acting.
Who's the chick in it? The chick off Titanic or something.
Yeah, Kate Winslet.
Yeah, yeah. So she's up for some award apparently for it.
What, for that show?
Apparently. Really? Well, they reckon she will be.
What, worse hairstyle?
I don't know. I just saw some interview about her 40th birthday and they're crapping on about,
That's that new movie she's in with
The Dressmaker.
Yeah,
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, they were talking about the Apple movie with Jobsy.
Oh, yeah, they touched on it.
Was
the project? I think it was the project.
No, I don't know. It was just some crap I was watching this morning, probably Sunrise or something.
Oh, might have been, yeah. I remember seeing it.
Mm.
But a lot of people who apparently in the know and know Jobsy and all the people that are involved all reckon that it's not true.
Bit of a hatchet. They reckon it's a bit of a hatchet job, this one.
Yeah.
Well, they've sort of over dramatized it to make a story.
Yeah, I think I've heard that too, that they've sort of overemphasized his tyrannical propensities. His ass wipiness.
Yes, fair enough. Yeah, yeah. Look, well, apparently all the stories are he was a bit of a bit of an ass.
We all know that. Everyone knows that, but they tend to, I think they over exaggerated it. That's what I've heard anyway.
But I suppose
know. I don't know.
Well, you know what people are like, Eric. He probably told someone to go blow their nose, and they've gone in this
and
ear,
and they blew it on his shirt, so he fired him.
Well, they've heard it goes in one ear and it swirls around and comes out something completely different. Like
that's like the Seinfeld episode, the magic loogie. Remember?
I do remember an episode about that. Oh, that's right. Was that the one where it was from the grassy knoll or
that's
something?
That's right. That's right. And that's magically right. Turned around.
That's right.
They were trying to take the. They were sort of taking off the. Kennedy.
Just, yes. That's a great show, isn't it? I just noticed, I tuned into the, well, whatever channel it's on, TV1 or whatever they call it now, and it was at the final episode, so I watched it, and then I thought, oh, yeah, I'm interesting to see if this just wraps around, and so I tuned in the same time the next night just to ease my curiosity, and yeah, there just episode one.
Yeah, there you go.
It was, just wraps it around. I'll tell you what it wraps around like, and that's the Aussie Tech Radio.
There you go.
24/7. Wrapping around the tech shows of Australia and New Zealand. Jump on that, aussietechradio.com. Just when you've got nothing to do, punch it up. It's just like a little radio. Start listening to some tech shows. You might like them. There's this show. There's Tech Webcast. There's Joomla Beat. There's a lot of other shows on there from Australia and New Zealand, so get involved. All right.
The new security show.
Oh, yes. Have you been listening, Shane?
Yeah, the last one was on backups. So that was interesting.
Yeah, very good. Good boy. Yes, it was. The Aussie Tech Security. You can get that on iTunes as well, or your favourite little podcatcher, wherever that may be. But yeah, Roger, he's got his little security firm there down in the ACT. Probably lots of work for him down there. And yeah, he's the doyen of Australian security. You've got a question, you go and ask him. He knows the goods. Yeah, last episode that we did was on backup and restore, and it's not just for home users and whatever. He delves more into, you know, the probably the SMB market, and yeah, it gives you the full story, what you should be doing, how much you should be spending, say, and all that sort of stuff. So it's pretty good. I forget what next episode's topic is going to be. I wrote it down, but it's going to be another belter for sure. Aussie Tech Security. All right, Eric, did you have anything to talk about this week?
No, I did not.
Or anything? What about Apple TV?
Oh, a bit pricey. You have a look at it? You go and buy one?
I'm off it, actually.
What's that? You're off it?
When push comes to shove, I'm off it. Yeah.
I thought it's a bit pricey.
Oh, tell me about it.
What are they charging?
Well, there's two pricings. There's the...
No, the expensive one. I don't want to get crappy 64 gig.
Rubbish. Yeah, so the 60, well, no, the cheap one's the 32.
Yes.
At $269.
Mm.
The 64 gig is $349.
Right.
That's up there.
What's the equivalent in America?
Oh, I don't know. But half. Oh, it wouldn't be half, but
they've given away.
It wouldn't be half, but you know, like it's just it's relative, I suppose, in a way. But the new Apple TV is now available to order through the Australian online store. They're due to ship out within 3 to 5 business days. HDMI cable isn't included, but Apple will sell you one.
Yeah, for $85.
No, it's on special for $29.
Oh, $29. You can get them for $10.
Oh, you get them for bloody $3.50.
Okay, 64 gig in America is $199.
$199
US.
And it's $200. What's $200 divided by 0.68? Get that calculator humming.
It's better than that. It's about 0.71. I'll call it 0.70. Hmm. 285. Oh, but hang on, but that doesn't include their VAT, right? So let's assume that their VAT's 10%, right?
Yeah.
So it's still 220. 220 divided by 0.70. So it's 314.
Yeah, so there's a little bit there. 349.
Yeah, Apple tax.
Yeah. Oh, it's probably just a buffer.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's exactly what it is. It's a buffer because if they would have read their currency reports, if any of the currency reports on average you know, they read 10 of them, and on average they said it's going down to 65. Well, there's your 349, isn't it?
Mm. So yeah. Netflix, HBO, Now, Guitar Hero Live, Galaxy on Fire, Rayman Adventures, Disney Infinity 3, blah, 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 will Airbnb. We'll all be among the first apps for the Apple TV. Two notable Apple TV exclusions include a multiplayer version of Crossy Road. And
no one cares about that.
Exclusives, not exclusions. I think I said exclusions. Exclusives. Yeah, so Crossy Road and a new rhythm game called Beat Sports. Look, the remote control's rather neat, isn't it?
Like, so you've gone off it for the price because you're a bit pricey?
I've gone off it for the... Yeah, the price and also what's on it. I don't think there's enough on it.
Well, yeah, I think there's enough. There's the same things on it that they've got now.
Yeah, there's not enough.
So you think that if you're going to spend that sort of coin, you've got to give me something else.
I want more.
Mm. Yeah, but aren't they moving apps across to it and you got
Siri? Yeah, they are. Well, when they start moving all their games across, then it might be worthwhile. But at the moment, they haven't.
Mm.
So what you're doing is you're paying for a box that's twice or three times the cost of the existing one with no tangible benefit.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Look, I can see the, like, you know, you watch the video review videos and everything and it's, you know, you can tell it to, oh, what did he say, you know, when you're watching a movie, and that Siri will rewind 15 seconds, put the subtitles on so you can see what it is and then take the subtitles, and like, that's all good. But I don't watch...
How often are you going to do that?
Yeah.
You know, you're watching a movie... And you think, what did he say? If you're watching a movie with your wife or your girlfriend or whatever, and you go, oh, what did he say? What did he say? Well, the movie would be like an NFL game. It would take 4 hours.
Yes.
Well, just watch the movie.
Yeah, you pick it up. It's not important to the end if you miss one word. But yeah, exactly. I like
you get the gist.
The top of the remote is the little glass touchpad or whatever you want to call it, trackpad. That's pretty cool. That's good. I can see.
Yeah, still, you know, you got the Apple TV, I got the Apple TV. What do? You get on it, you think, I want to watch a movie. And you watch a movie, you press play, and you leave the remote alone. Unless you go into the bathroom, you press pause. What else do I need on the remote?
My remote's in the cupboard.
There you go.
I've got it on the phone.
On the phone, exactly. Yeah. It's play or pause.
Mm.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't need to use anything. I'm watching a movie.
Mm.
Another question about it. Why have a hard – I mean, you need a hard drive for the apps, I suppose, but why have such a big hard drive when things are streamed and they're all on demand and
– I reckon your answer, it's the apps.
Yeah.
And I think – aren't they going to be able to do 4K videos?
Like if you've got
4K video on your network, you can stream it through, you know, or save it to the box or something. I don't know.
Who's got that much hard drive space? 4K. Give me a break.
Yeah, I know. What's that work out of? Is that 4 gigabytes per
second?
Hour?
I don't know. I don't know how that works out.
I don't know.
But it's, yes. But, and also released this week is the Telstra TV, the remodeled, renamed Roku box.
Free if you're a new subscriber.
Yes.
You know that? Free.
Yes. Yes, I saw that. It's $109 otherwise. Look, I thought this might have been interesting. I was getting excited about this one as well, but I think I'm going to pass on that too.
Really?
Yes, it's a locked down version of the Roku. So you're not going to get all the bells and whistles that you might be able to if you just bought the Roku box. It's got the Stan, the Presto and the Netflix, but I don't think one of them, Stan or something, is not going to be on until next month. But who cares? Like,
no one watches Stan anyway.
No. who cares about this stuff? You want it something that can stream easily media from your computer or something like that. And the Apple TV, the Chromecast, look, I thought this little Telstra TV would have hit the spot, but I don't think it does. I don't think it will.
I understand them locking it in. And the thing is, though, it replaces the T-Box, but the T-Box you could watch live TV.
That's right.
You could watch free-to-air. On this, you can't.
And what's the point? I was reading a review on the Telstra TV, and the guy was saying that people couldn't – the reason they thought they ditched the T-Box, people couldn't handle the T-Box. Can you
– The worst thing about the T-Box was the remote. It was a shocking remote.
Yeah, and it's even shocking the app as well. I use the app as well. I don't use the actual remote, but I use...
Shocking. The content's fine, and getting you're watching free-to-air via, you know, your cable internet, perfect, you know, mm. but... that remote was rubbish.
Yeah, but I think what the problem with the Telstra TV is that it's because Telstra owns part of Foxtel, I think it's the whole experience is skewed to try and get you to, into Foxtel in some way. But, like, so, you know, but then why would they put Stan Presto Netflix on it when that's, like, each one of those is, say, 10 to 15 bucks a month? You can't get Foxtel less than 25 a month. If you want the same stuff that's on Presto, Netflix, etc., you're looking at probably 50, 60 a month on Foxtel. Foxtel's dead. It's gone.
Yeah, that's why they're buying onto these other platforms. Speaking of which, didn't Channel 9 make an announcement during the week?
That might have been through this week, yes.
And I was trying to find it because I saw your little logo on the notes here, but no.
Well, that might have been the story above it, Eric. Maybe.
Well, mate, you've got to resize your graphics.
Oh, well, that's just how that works. I don't have time to resize stuff. Now, would you want to do this story?
No.
Okay, well,
you want to do it.
I updated my 7 Plus this morning on the iPhone, you know, the Channel 7 catch-up.
Oh, the catch-up, yeah.
Yeah, because it now streams live. Channel 7. You can watch 7, 7.2, 7 Mate stream live.
So
that's pretty cool.
iPad as well?
I'd imagine so. It's the app. Yeah, I'd imagine so.
Okay.
Yeah. So that works. And that works good. I watched a bit of Sunrise. You know, it seemed to go all right. It'd be good when the 49ers play because I'll just be able to live stream on the 7, mate. I'm into it now, you know.
I wonder how that will go when everyone starts going on it.
Mm.
I don't think it's going to be all their shows either. I think it's only going to be their content.
No, it's a stream. It's a live stream.
Yeah, I think when they launched this a while ago, they made a point of saying that initially at least it's only going to be select shows like Sunrise because I think they're going to have problems when it comes to their broadcast rights and all that kind of stuff. I don't think they're going to be able to do things like NFL and the Blacklist and all that kind of the American content.
Well, I don't know. I think that I'll read the next part of this piece here because it may clear up some of that. The Channel 9 is also set to launch a new lifestyle-focused free-to-air channel next month called 9 Life.
Now, is that the only thing they're doing live or are they doing everything live?
Channel 7?
No, Channel 9.
No, this is 9.
What else are they going live? Is it just the lifestyle channel?
No, this is not, I don't think that's live.
Oh, it's saying 9 to launch new lifestyle channel 9 Live.
Yes.
And stream all channels 24/7.
Yeah,
so whatever's
that's
on
coming.
The TV, you can watch on the computer.
Yeah, and that's what Channel 7's done.
Yeah.
So now Channel 9 is in there. So it's fourth channel broadcast on Channel 94. So I don't know if that's right around Australia or whatever, 94. But anyway, from November 26, the network has signed a multi-year deal with the Scripps Network International as the main supplier of shows such as Flip or Flop, never heard of it, Tiny House, Big Living.
That's when they take the blue pill.
Never heard of it. Top Chef and Millionaire Matchmaker. I've only heard of Millionaire Matchmaker. Not a bad show.
I've heard of Top Chef. I've heard of Tiny House. I've heard of Tiny House Nation.
Is it Tiny House?
I've heard of Tiny House Hunt.
That must be a dwarf show or something, you think?
And there it is.
What?
It's for little people, is it?
Yeah, because there's another one called Little People Big World.
Right, I won't be watching that.
And this one must be Tiny.
That's actually for, that's about little people.
Yes, I watched it. It's a good show.
That was a good show. That
it was. It was a good show. Now, Channel 9's new channel will join SBS, which is also launching 24/7 food channel on November 17. Jeez, all these where are they coming from?
Well, see that. Look, if they're all going online, why would anyone bother turning on your TV? What is the point of Foxtel?
Well, that's right, and specifically, especially when you got, as before, with this 9 Life thing, they've got this, they're putting these Millionaire Matchmakers, etc., they're putting them into first run on free-to-air. So
yes.
Before, Foxtel was having all this little, the crappy little shows that just hover around nothing.
Yeah.
And now it's all these, the free-to-air starting to get all of these channels as well.
Well, I think Foxtel will be the next to go live, all its channels live on the internet whenever you want it. Because otherwise...
But they are.
Not, yeah, well, the Foxtel Go, but it's only limited channels. And it's such a... And the app is so heavy and buggy.
Mm.
It's terrible.
You know, you can watch Sky News for free. You don't even have to have a Foxtel account.
No, I know. Same with ABC News 24.
Oh, can you?
Yeah, you go on the website, AB News, just do a search, ABC News 24.
Oh, yeah, off the website, click, of course. Yeah.
Click live stream and bang.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, like Sky News, as in like a Foxtel channel.
Right.
You can log on to, we don't have to log on to Foxtel Go. You load it up and you can get it.
Yeah. Well, I think they're all going to go internet. You'll have a choice of watching it on your TV or on your computer, because if Foxtel don't start doing that, you know, they've got to change Foxtel Go. That's a hideous app.
Mm.
And it's very clunky and it's hard to get around and, you know, it's just hideous.
And one of the things that I don't like about it is like, because I got this program called See Cleaner, every time I close my browser, it cleans like cookies and all this sort of stuff. Yeah. So then every time I log into Foxtel Go, I'm logged into Foxtel Go with the same computer.
Right.
Because that just, it's got, okay, oh, this is computer. Oh, because I cleaned the cookies out. Oh, here's another computer. I've cleaned the cookies out. Here's another computer.
Oh, so they think you've logged into five million different computers.
Yeah, and so
they only clear their cache at the end. Well, if you log out, it should log out of their system. That's stupid.
Well, you can only have three computers logged in to Foxtel Go, and so if you used up all your three spots with your one computer,
you've had it. You've got to log into Foxtel and clear it.
Oh no, you've got to ring them.
Oh, you've got to ring them.
Yeah, you only clear it once a month as well.
Then. That's right. Yeah, well, you can't even clear the whole lot. You can only clear one. That's just so rubbish. It's rubbish.
That's just crap.
Yeah, it's crap. Look, Foxtel, I'll tell you, I'll give you a hint, Foxtel. Just move away. Move on with your life. Sell out and put
you. You know why Foxtel's a problem, don't you? Because it's 50% owned by a 90-year-old.
Hmm. But it is it's a problem. It's old. It's finished.
It's dated. It's, you know, their HD box is rubbish. They just got to go get with it. Get with the program. They're listening, whatever your name is.
Aren't they got something to do? I think they got something to do with the Seven Presto or something. That's where they got to go. Like,
but
that's
look, the most money, the Foxtel make most of their money from the sports channels.
Yes. Well, what's going to happen? You know, in a couple of years when Channel 9 has the majority of the free to air NRL, didn't make Rupert too happy, did it?
No, it didn't.
No, he had a nice little, nearly had a coronary.
Well, Dave Smith's gone anyway, and he's an idiot. So he ruined rugby league, that bloke.
Channel 9's new channel will join SBS, which is launching the 24/7 food channel on November 17. Will replace 9's current. Okay, yeah. So now that Channel 9 is, they're getting rid of Jump In. Hallelujah. The Jump In was the worst streaming app I've ever come across.
But they're going to aggregate, put all those Jump In shows onto the new platform. But I guarantee you, I don't know, I'm a bit cynical there.
Oh, Jump In was crap, eh?
If Jump In was crap, what are the chances of this new streaming platform being rubbish?
Well, Channel 10, 10 Play, that's beautiful. That's a good app.
It's not bad.
It's on the Apple TV. It's on your phone, you know.
Yep.
So was it crap because of functionality or user interface or
buggy? Just heavy.
Yes. Yeah, it was. Heavy.
I don't think they're on the website at least anyway. I don't think they're using HTML5. I think they're still using Java and Flash.
Mm.
And it's just rubbish.
Yeah, and bloody Steve, help you if you wanted to push it to the Apple TV. No one could help you.
No.
So Jump In's going. There's going to be another one come out. Be called Now. 9Now. That's what it's going to be called. 9Now.
You know what they should do as well? If you can watch those streaming things on your computer or your iPhone or your iPad, they should allow you to stream it to Apple via through Apple TV onto your screen.
You can with them, but I think you can't do it like natively. Like there's no button to push. You've got to.
That's what I mean. They should be.
Yeah, you got to do it like a screen.
I know it's easier on Macs that support that streaming screen or it's called play.
Yeah.
So if you log in on your browser, it is very, very crisp and it's not too bad. But from a phone, it's a bit rubbishy.
Look, I have high hopes for this new app from Channel 9. Spaceman come out and he goes, we have recut our entire platform, sourced a new tech supplier, which has the global best practice in this sort of technology. And as of early 2016, Nine Now will take the place of Nine Jump In. At its core, it's a live streaming destination for all of Nine's content and will also house all of our catch-up services. All they got to do now is get the footy onto HD and we'll be laughing.
Yeah.
Happy days.
Actually, I saw an ad the other day on Channel 9 watching Foxtel, and as of a certain date, Channel 9 will be broadcasting all their channels in HD.
So that means they're going to move to 90, or are they just swapping?
No, I think they just reconfigured their existing channel.
Well, so they should.
So now they're going to be broadcasting. All their channels will be HD, so that would include football.
Mm. Well, you would have saw that you watched the grand final. That was on Gem as well.
Was it? It would have been HD on Gem, I'm assuming.
That's right. Yeah, it was on Channel 9. It was also simulcast on Gem.
So I would say that Gem probably got the most viewers. Why would you watch standard definition on a grand final?
I know. Yeah.
I know. What morons?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. But I'll tell you, I bought an amp. When was the last time you guys bought an amp?
I don't know. Is it still in the box?
No. I hooked it up.
Oh, you have? What do you want an amp for? What are you going to play guitar or something?
No, an amplifier for the TV, you know.
Yeah. I've got a couple of those around the house, mate.
Yeah, I haven't bought one for probably 15 years. And I get there, I go, oh, yeah, I'll just buy an amp, you know, blah, blah, blah. I get there, now I'm faced with all these choices now. And this one I've got, I can turn it off and on from my phone. It's so cool.
Yeah, you want someone to hack you.
Yes. And I can, it's got tune-in radio on it, so I can just, on my phone, I can just go blip, and the tune-in radio comes on, and I can start listening to it. And it's...
Lawsy.
Yeah, I'm off Lawsy now.
Jonesy.
Yeah, Jonesy and Bolts.
Yes, right.
Yeah, Jonesy and Bolts, they're the ones. That's where it's at.
Boltsy, he gives it to him.
Oh, doesn't he? What? He's good. Now, look, I had a story about Wi-Fi and devices. Here it is, the kettle. So the iKettle. Did you hear about these dudes? Have you heard about the iKettle?
No, I just think if you want your kettle to be
Wi-Fi'd.
Wi-Fi enabled, how lazy are you?
Pretty.
It's going a bit too far. I think it's jumped the shark.
What about
everything is controllable by Wi-Fi. I mean, you know what they're going to do next? They're going to put little microchips in toilet paper so it magically wipes your butt for you.
Or little cameras so you can see if it's clean or not.
Make sure there's no crusty dags.
Yeah. Oh, let's see. And someone will make that app now. They've heard about it.
Yeah, crustydag.com.
And, yeah, you just put your – it'll just send the video to your phone.
No, it'll just upload it to Facebook. Why the hell not?
Why not? You get your food uploaded
live
there.
Live stream via Facebook.
Anyway, this iKettle, it's designed to pre-boil water. So you could be coming home, you could get to the end of the street, and you go, oh, I'll put the kettle on.
Yeah, of course, because I can't wait 30 seconds.
No, exactly. You can't wait.
God, that's jumped the shark. Come on.
So by allowing the white good to be switched on using an app, unfortunately revealing the owner's Wi-Fi password in the process.
That's right.
Now,
well, is there an app for, like, your wife to warm her up before you come home?
I don't know, but there should be. Let's see if we can invent one.
Was that the password for your wife, Boing Bang? Yeah. There it is there.
Ken Munro of Pentest Pant Partners said if you haven't configured the kettle, it's trivially easy for hackers to find your house and take over your kettle.
Oh, no. Call the police. Someone's hacked into my kettle.
They've taken all my hot water. So Munro says that hacking communities have begun using online directories like 192.com to record a house's Wi-Fi password, allowing the creation of a Google map plotted with Wi-Fi passwords of houses all over London. Who the hell cares?
So everyone, 6,000 people came home and their kettles were on. What a disaster.
Attackers will need to to set up a malicious network with the same SSID but with a stronger signal than the iKettle connects to before sending a disassociation packet that will cause the device to drop its wireless link. Oh, I couldn't be stuffed.
I have to come home and go, oh, no, how do I boil a kettle?
Yeah. Oh, look, don't worry about trying to get someone else's Wi-Fi password. That's too hard. I can sit outside of your place with a directional antenna. It wouldn't look sus. Point it at your house. Knock your kettle off your access point. It connects to me. I send two commands and it discloses your wireless key in plain text. There you go.
Yeah, but for what purpose?
Munro.
Nothing. Unless the kettle had arms and legs and it could, you know, punch the owner in the face. What's the point?
Munro.
Yeah, but if the bad guy gets the password for the wireless network, then all bets are off.
So he can access your whole network. Well, then,
yeah.
That's the case. You make sure your kettle is only hooked up to your guest network.
Mm.
Yeah, true.
Or you think that someone might be into your Wi-Fi network, you just open your front door and go and punch the guy in the car out the front.
Yeah, so, hey, mate, you got see that guy with the arrow out there? Hang on a minute, I'll be back in a sec.
See, it must be that guy with that directional antenna pointed straight at the house. Let's go and punch him in the neck.
Dweeby-looking bloke.
Yeah, we'll go and punch him in the neck. That'll right. Learn him. Munro went on to explain that the Android app for the iKettle is easy to crack since all passwords remain the default ones. The iOS app is slightly more secure, blah blah blah. The quality, blah, blah, blah. Equating the quality of cybersecurity in the year 2000, this guy Munro called the state of security in the Internet of Things utterly bananas.
That's a very English way to say things. Oh, it's utterly bananas.
It's bananas. Yeah, all right, so there you go.
There you go. Don't get a kettle, everyone.
No.
Drink iced tea.
What do we think about the whole automation thing in general? The reason why I ask is a couple of months ago now, Leo reckons that when he moved house, he didn't bother setting it all up again in the new house. Do you reckon that's just a fad?
I think it's a bit tiresome. I'll tell you what, I will, at the bare minimum, this is all I want. I want Ethernet ports in every room that needs one. That's it. I get, you know, electronic bloody this, electronic that. You know, every time I move, there's, you know, the lights come on in the hallway to make sure I can see where I'm going.
Oh, I need that.
You know,
I that's like that.
Rubbish.
No, that's
how
good.
Lazy are you? Turn the freaking light on.
I want strip lights down the hallway and everything. Just
hang a torch.
Come on as you step.
Yeah. Hey, your iPhone's got a torch, mate.
Oh, I need stuff like that. That's so good.
No, see, don't be careful because Apple will come out with stuff like that and it'll be like the Apple Watch. No one will buy it.
There's we got our mate back from last week, Debitable UK. How you going? He said that you can actually, you know, if you control enough kettles, you bring down the grid. So that's what that's the ulterior motive behind it all.
Yeah. Well, let's. I'd like to see them control all the kettles in the UK.
Oh. Could you not force the kettle to just keep boiling and just not turn itself off and then eventually then burn the house down?
It'd burn out.
Well, it wouldn't burn the house down. It would short the circuit. And if you haven't got an old house with dodgy circuitry, then, yeah, it would burn it down if you had an old house because it would just keep just sparking.
Mm.
But in the newer homes, anything built after, what, the 70s or 80s, they've got those safety switches. It would just turn itself off.
Well, you could use it to pre-boil, go and knock on a stranger's house and say, could I have a cup of coffee? They say, we haven't got the kettle on. You go, yes, you have.
Freak you out. I think you'd be wrong.
Don't lie to me, you mongrels.
Yeah, that's right.
Give me a cup of coffee now. Or I'll punch.
You don't borrow sugar anymore. You threaten them with coffee.
I'll punch you in the neck.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, what else?
I'm not here for sugar. I'm here for coffee. That's right.
Now, Shane, have you got any more stories?
Yeah, as he takes a bite of pizza.
All right, well, I'll do another one while you digest. Now, Kogan launches a $999 high-performance notebook.
Let's see.
Yes, well, it sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds
Atlas
good.
Atlas Pro, 16.6,
yes.
1920. Okay, well, that screen's old hat already. They should be doing 2480 screens now.
Terabyte hard drive.
Terabyte hard drive. It should be SSD. It's not high performance unless it's SSD.
Probably 5400
RPM. That's right. Pentium chip. Yeah. Windows 10, okay. Intel i7 3.5, okay. That's reasonable.
Yeah, so the negatives to it, like it's probably not a bad little laptop, you know, on the surface. But look, what the spiel is,
it's high performance for 2 years ago.
Yeah,
that's why it's so cheap now.
The spiel is it's powered by an i7 3.5 gigahertz, which came with the actual chip coming out over a year ago. Apparently, pretty power hungry as well. And despite that, the processor features 2.5 gigahertz clock speed as opposed to a 3.5 gig. So it's 2.5 gig, but per turbo boosts to 3.5.
Right, so it's lying, which means it overheats the laptop.
The 8 gig of RAM and the NVIDIA...
It should be 32. That's not high performance.
And the and NVIDIA GeForce 940M graphics card. Now, this graphics card is apparently not as hardcore as what you'd like, sitting very close to the bottom of NVIDIA's current generation 900 series mobile chipset lineup. You can get the laptop if you wish from November 6th. Oh, I love how everyone announces, go, pre-order, pre-order, yay.
No one's going to order this.
No.
No way.
No, I don't.
No freaking way.
Some Gumby will. And I hope that Gumby's not listening. Founder Ruslan...
Hello, Mr. Gumby.
Ruslan Kogan said the new device will fill a gap in the market for high-performance laptops on a budget.
For Gumbies.
Yeah, look, all I could say is, look, it might, you know... I bring it up because you put it into your list of due diligence. So
right.
If you're looking for a laptop, you look at this. You know, for another 200 or 100 more, you might find something a lot better. But you put it in your list. You do your due diligence so you can go, okay, for $999, that's going to do me. And it
that's
might.
That's going to do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't look like a bad thing. It looks nice on the outside.
Oh, look, it looks nice. But that's to me, you know, that's not high performance. 8 gigabytes, 1 terabyte hard drive that isn't SSD is not classified as high performance.
Mm. All right. Have you digested, Shane?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I'm good to go. All right. That laptop would be right for your business kind of executive type people, though. I mean, yeah, you wouldn't be able to play games or anything on it.
No, but then if you just want to do the internet, is $999 too high? Wouldn't you be better off with something less?
Less. Well, you can get an HP for less than that.
You can get I've seen HP laptops with like under $500. Slow. You know, like,
oh yeah, they're rubbish.
Yeah, but
look, it's very simple. Just buy a Mac.
Don't do that.
Very simple. Buy a Mac.
Don't do that, please.
Yeah, do that.
I'd get a Kogan first. All right, Shane.
I don't think they'll be making any movies about Ruslan Kogan anytime soon.
They might.
Well, if he has another flop like he did with the because apparently he's just relaunched his phone stuff again.
Yeah.
Kogan 2.0. So that. You know, tanks for whatever reason again, then they might.
Probably the only reason it tanks is because he doesn't pay his bill.
Now, what have you got, Shane?
Yeah, keeping me back on track. Google's getting serious about battery life with the next Android version. Because Bill's not here, I thought I'd do an Android story.
Yeah, slag it off.
Android Marshmallow, Google's latest update to the mobile OS, is already rolling out to the few lucky handsets. With more general rollout poised to begin, Google is showing it means business when it comes to the battery life. One of the big features Google announced for Marshmallow was Doze, its new power-saving sleep mode, similar to aeroplane mode. Google's making Doze inclusions mandatory if manufacturers want to ship a version of Android with all of Google's search and mapping services. The actual Android code is open source. They will need to enable Doze. I'll read that a little bit again. Basically, if they want the full featured version of Marshmallow, they're gonna have to enable the Doze feature. It's also requiring manufacturers to accurately report information on what batteries are actually doing and what they're using. This was previously hidden by manufacturers, but again, if they want to use Marshmallow and get its full features and everything, they're going to actually have to report accurately about that.
Marshmallows. Yummy. You put them on the fire, melt them.
And they melt.
On a stick. Yeah. So, yeah, we're missing Will's input on Android tonight. He's got better things on his mind. Apple Pay to land in Australia this year, which is not too long to go. So, pretty soon. Now, look, I'd have to call it controversy or, you know, just another one of these things where you just sort of scratch your head, I suppose, and go, really? So they've done a deal, so it's only going to be available to American Express cardholders.
That's right, buddy.
So I wouldn't say that that's the most prevalent card in Australia.
I've got one.
Yeah, but I don't.
Well, then it's your bad luck.
But why wouldn't you go, why wouldn't you do Visa and MasterCard?
Oh, well, Visa was probably trying to rip them off.
So in the US and the UK, Apple partnered with numerous banks as well as several credit card companies, including Amex, MasterCard and Visa. But over here in Australia, NAB, the Commonwealth, ANZ, Westpac and MasterCard had no partnerships to announce, and apparently Visa declined to comment.
Because so, they're still in negotiations, probably.
They might be. They might be. But I think they've got to move past Amex only. They can't.
Well, they will. You know, it's only their first foray.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, when they first came in with stores, they only had one store. Now they've got 13 or something. It's ridiculous.
When's that Microsoft store opening? Was that?
Look, I think they've made 1,000 announcements about when that's opening, and still nobody knows.
Let me have a look. Microsoft store, because I thought that's pretty soon.
Yeah, I thought it was like been and gone. I thought it was the 26th or something.
Oh, it's probably already opened. I've already had its opening and no one knows.
No, it hasn't, has it? I don't know. You would have heard about it. It would have happened. Would you, Eric, you would have been there.
I don't think so.
It's the grand opening ceremonies, 11:30 a.m, doors open 12 p.m, 12th of November, Westfield, Sydney on Pitt Street.
12th of November, that's right. They had to invite people to line up. That's pretty sad.
That's right. They said, you can line up now if you want. Hey, you guys, you can line up now.
Guys, hello. Anyone? Bueller?
They might have made a mistake, though, because that's the same day that the Xbox One rollout comes out where it allows you to use your old 360 games. So people will be at home playing their Xbox and not going to the shop.
Exactly.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if Microsoft made an error like that, because they would never do that, because they're not stupid.
Microsoft announced that it will begin rolling out the new Xbox One Experience System update for Xbox One from 12th of November as well. Shane, you are spot on the money. Over 100 Xbox titles.
I did my research.
You have. You have. Very, very well done. Over, how many did I say? 100 titles.
100. So that's current Xbox One. People will get a software update. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, so you'll be able to play, at the moment, over 100 Xbox 360 titles will be playable. Backwards compatibility with hundreds more to follow. Compatible includes Borderlands, Gears of War, Mass Effect, Cameo, Shadow Complex. Never heard of any of them. Digital Xbox. Oh, I tried to play one of those games. I can't handle it. I just...
No, you get dizzy.
Oh, can't do it. It's too... does my brain in. Like why? Like how you move around and you look up and down at the same time and... I can sort of do it, but I don't know if I've got the controller set wrong or whatever because I just can't shoot anyone. So anyway, that's that. Titles played via Xbox One compatibility operate in an emulated Xbox 360 environment, and users will retain any achievements they may have earned while playing the game previously. Backwards compatible titles will, however, gain access to some Xbox One features, such as Windows 10 streaming. Sweet. The Xbox One Experience, also referred to as Windows 10 for Xbox One.
There nice. You go. We'll see when that comes out.
Yeah. Have you got any more, Shane, or are we all about done?
The only one that I had that was kind of related to the Apple Pay thing is there was a story that I saw where it basically sort of said, you know, why Apple is our best hope to stop online fraud. Essentially, it's a story about... the only way to sort of stop online fraud is to adopt a system like Apple Pay because of how it's kind of structured. It's apparently more secure than, it's obviously more secure than your old signatures and even PINs and all that kind of stuff. It's obviously an American-based story, but they kind of touch on how Australia's kind of already moved forward in that we don't do signatures anymore, we only do PIN numbers, and we use a different kind of technology. But they try and sort of put across the point that while it is still easier to do it the old-fashioned way, rip out your card and either do the tap-and-go or PIN number thing, it's going to be hard for people to adopt anything like Apple Pay and all that kind of stuff. Because what's the difference between, you know, whipping your card out and flashing it somewhere versus doing something like, you know, whipping your phone out and tapping it somewhere?
I'd rather whip my card out.
Oh, look, if you could have it in your watch, just put your wrist over it.
Oh, yeah, but who buys a watch?
Well, yeah, not an Apple Watch.
Not an Apple Watch.
No. Yeah. But, all right.
I never thought I'd hear the day that Eric would poo-poo an Apple product.
Oh, no, I'm fairly objective, mate. A shit product's a shit product. I don't care who makes it. Apple Watch is rubbish.
Yeah, but you kind of predicted that it wouldn't actually do well. You're not one of these people that are jumping on the bandwagon.
No, I predicted it would go rubbish, and I was right.
Yeah. I think it's just
I worked out today why it's not doing well. Because they looked at it as a computing device that also is a watch, instead of designing a watch that it happens to have some computing aspects attached to it.
Hmm. I think they got the actual physical design wrong. I think that one that we spoke about last week, was it from Microsoft, the band or something,
yeah,
had the rectangular sort of
face. Well, even if they designed it as a watch, you say make it look like a Rolex or a Tag Heuer or a Citizen or an Omega, and then it just so happens, oh, and by the way, it also does these things. You know, and it's waterproof. You can have a shower. You can't have, you know, when it starts raining, you got to take your Apple Watch off.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You can't get it caught in the rain or anything. It's not even water resistant, let alone waterproof.
That's pretty.
They should have come at it as, let's design a watch first. First and foremost, it's a watch.
Yeah.
And a damn nice one. It's a beautiful watch. It's a sports watch or a fashion watch or whatever you want to call it. And, oh, by the way, it does this as well. They've gone about it the wrong way by designing, hey, let's build a computer to put on your wrist. Oh, yeah, but then no one's going to buy it, so let's make it a watch as well.
Well, that's how they don't do the same mistake with a car.
Well, that's the thing. If they design a car as a computer first, no one's going to buy it.
And neither they have a car. But, you know, like, I think one of the good things about just that Apple TV is, look, I think that remote control with that glass touchpad thing, that's brilliant. I think that should take off on all the remote controls across the board. That is a great little, just move it around.
But they probably patented it so no one else can use it.
Probably. They could license it.
Yeah, they could license it.
If they felt like it. All right. Well, I think that's going to do us for another week, gentlemen.
Yes, indeed.
I think that's it. Yes, good stuff. All right. Don't forget the other shows that you can purchase for free on the iTunes is the Aussie Mac Zone. And they love the Apple Watch over there. So if you
oh, they're going off on the Apple Watch. Oh,
they both got. I think Garth and Michael have got one.
Really? Because the two watches that Apple sold went to those two.
That's right. Yeah, and I've heard Michael say he's jumping out for the Apple TV. So if you want to review or whatever, or Michael's thoughts, he's the Apple doyen round here at Aussie Tech Heads. Go and listen to the Aussie Mac Zone. Also, the facebook.com/AussieTechHeads. And if you want to send us an email, send it to Shane, Eric, or Glenn at AussieTechHeads.com.au. We've all got Twitter accounts. If you can't find it, email and ask us what they are because I can't remember. I think it's at Eric Franco, at Shane Johnston, and at Aussie Tech Heads or at Glenn Goodman, one of those ones.
Or at William Tompkinson.
Or at William Tompkinson's or at Warlock. There you go.
What if his new baby will have his own Twitter account?
Hey, go and register Cameron Tompkinson now before he gets it.
What was the – yeah, or the initials. Cameron whatever. Cam Tong. That's like a Chinese sauce. That's right. Ah, Canton tonight.
Oh, Canton. Lift the baby up.
Yes, please. All right. Well, that is going to do us. So, yeah, thanks. Good to see you again, Shane. Thanks for coming through.
That's right. Do you want me back?
For sure.
Anytime.
You just let us know when you're free and you can jump on
free,
in.
Mr.
He uses us for entertainment when he's not working.
Yeah,
that's what he does. I'm awake to these people, but yeah, anytime, Shane, just give us a hoi. So cool, good to see you again. All right, thanks, Eric. Good to see
you're
again.
Welcome.
And hopefully we'll see you guys next week. Don't know about Will Warlock, maybe if his tonsils are good. Who knows? But good stuff. All right. So until next week, thanks for downloading and listening or watching on YouTube. Wherever it may be, we appreciate the views and the skews. Thanks very much, and bye-bye for now. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
See ya.
Aussie Tech Ed is produced by The Secret Hub and recorded on the Gold Coast, Australia. Please visit our website and take part in our discussions forums at www.aussietechhead.com. Views expressed in the preceding audio do not necessarily represent those of Aussie Tech Ed or The Secret Hub. Thank you for downloading, and we'll see you next episode. Bye for now.